Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome aboard right now Tom Pecora, associate head coach for Quinnipiac, joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes, man.
Coach, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How are we doing this morning?
Right. Doing well. What was a great championship game last night, Coach? I mean, you couldn't ask anything more with a men's title on the line.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, for a coach, you know, we're always thinking about ways to touch your team, touch your players. I mean, obviously a tale of redemption for Virginia after last year's first-round loss. And I'm sure there's coaches all over the country meeting with their teams the next day or so, and they're going to talk to them about how you respond to what happens to you in your life. How do you respond to failure? That dictates greatness, you know. And for them to come back and not lay down and just fall apart after last year, granted, they didn't have DeAndre Hunter in that game, but to lose to a 16 seed and then to be able to be on this mission and win so many close games moving forward, I think it was really impressive. Not only their wins, but the way they found ways to win, their will to win was off the charts.
Hey, Coach, yeah, really, speak on that, because Moose and I were talking earlier about Tony Bennett and how great of a job he's done because of that, you know, what happened last year against UMBC and you know, in that first round. And how, you know, we talked about that last week too. Like, and maybe you could speak on it from your expertise, how you use that. If you're Tony Bennett and you hope it works, but you use that loss as a motivational tool to keep the kids driven all year round, correct?
Yeah, no doubt. And he's done an incredible job. Tony Bennett, obviously one of the premier coaches in America. And, you know, when he got hired at Virginia, there were a lot of people that questioned the hire. They, you know, Midwest guy, but he had had success out at Washington State, and they didn't know that could translate back to the ACC and to the East Coast. And, you know, he's done an incredible job there with him. But I think the way he sends his message is very interesting. You know, he's not a fire and brimstone guy. He'll get up and into them a little bit. But, you know, he recruits a profile of kid that's intelligent, understands where he's coming from and how he motivates. And obviously for him to be able to do this over the course of a year and then to keep them locked in and hungry. You know, this is the time of the year when the season ends for most college teams. You know, you're back doing individual instruction and stuff that like that this week, the next 3 weeks until you get into your finals and then the summer workouts and then through the fall. It's a 12-month-a-year gig now. This isn't put the balls away, we'll see you next October. So to keep them that motivated this long and to continue to get better, they grew as a team. The players have just grown and become great, great players.
You know, before we get into the performance of Hunter here, Coach, you know, down three, as good of a coach as Beard is, and we'll get to the job that he's done at Texas Tech, what happens on that offensive set, on the penetration, where they leave DeAndre Hunter, who was hot from the outside, wide open for a game-tying three late?
Yeah, now look, Chris Beard, that's a Bobby Knight defensive clinic, the way he runs his defense, the way they handle ball screens, and they tag rollers, all the things that they do. So what happens, guys, is when you're a great defensive team, the amount of repetition that goes into the way you play certain scenarios, you know, it's an everyday thing. Then you need to make adjustments late in games in that scenario. On dribble penetration up three, everyone should be in a stay situation where you're just staying in front of your man at the three-point line. However, you've done thousands and thousands of weak side help, load in, bump the roll man out of the pick and roll, and then recover to the corner, and that's what the young man does. He just goes back to that. He doesn't stay locked in, and you feel for him because they're a tremendous defensive team. But in that one moment, he felt it was important to get to Jerome, and Ty Jerome has become, you know, he's a first-round draft pick, the kid from New Rochelle, and he makes a great play and sells him on coming to help and then puts a pass right on his numbers that allows him to knock it down from the corner. So I felt for the poor kid on the closeout.
You're listening to Taz and Moose right now. Our special guest is Tom Pecora, Quinnipiac men's basketball associate head coach. Hey, Coach, talk about an OT in overtime where Virginia, they went 12 for 12 from the line in overtime, man, to ice the game. Talk about that pressure right there and showing the heart and toughness of those kids and that Cavalier team to go 12-for-12 at the line.
Yeah, well, both teams, when you look at their field goal percentage, I mean their free throw shooting percentage, rather, at the end of the game, they kept themselves hanging around. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what level
right.
you play the game of basketball on. If you make free throws, you make layups, and you guard a little bit, you're going to be in most games. And, you know, free throws, there's times you can't make a jumper for a stretch, but you're getting to the foul line, and which is difficult against both these teams. One of the things about both Virginia and Texas Tech, what makes them exceptional defensive teams is they're not fouling every possession either. So it's not just a team that's incredibly physical and they're up in you. Their technique is great, and generally they don't send you to the foul line that much. But Virginia obviously got some opportunities late in the overtime to get some extra free throws, but they got up over 20 free throw attempts, and that was the difference. It was a 7-point difference to the foul line.
Coach Hunter, you know, he had not had a great tournament run, was not healthy last year when they lost to Maryland, Baltimore County. He was huge last night. The big three, you mentioned Jerome. Kyle Guy did his job as well. But Hunter, you know, I'm thinking about the big rebound and put back, even though he missed the free throw to make it a 59-51 game, was shooting the ball well. I mean, DeAndre, he played like a lottery selection last night. And anytime they need a big shot, I felt like he was there to make it.
No doubt. And he is a lottery, you know, on everyone's lottery chart right now. Yeah, a young guy. And once again, I think it's a perfect example of grinding through it. And, you know, this is one of the things all the NBA scouts, when they're looking, it's no different. Look, I go to a high school game. I don't want to go watch a kid play when I know his team's going to win by 30. I want to go to a game when his team might lose. I want to see how that young guy responds when his team is down. What is he like with his teammates? Does he have the ability to make shots in tough situations? Well, that translates up to the college level as well. And DeAndre Hunter came out. I mean, you guys – the first 10 minutes of that game, that was like a heavyweight boxing match where they were just feeling each other out. And everybody's sitting there saying, oh, boy, it's going to be like 21-10 at the half or 21-15 at the half. And then they both got their mojo going, especially him, made some shots, and he's a rhythm shooter, but he's got great range, and he has the ability to make shots with people draped on him. And that's when you go to the next level and you watch NBA basketball, that's what they all have, the ability to make shots that are very difficult.
Hey, Coach, the job that Chris Beard's doing there with the Red Raiders, I mean, he's been there for a couple of years, and I think 2016 he came in. You know, Moose and I were talking about it a lot. Pretty remarkable stuff. I mean, you see this guy staying there a long time and, you know, wanting to stay there, building something, you know, a dynasty, then repeating. I don't think he's – it seems like this program is – it kind of feels like it's here to stay. I mean, what's your thoughts on it?
I think he will, and I think a lot's changed in our business. And first in Chris's – he was winning at Arkansas Little Rock years back. I remember we were doing scheduling when I was the head coach at Hofstra at Fordham, and you'd look at Little Rock, and someone would say, we don't want to go to that tournament. You don't want to go near that team.
Yeah.
You know, his reputation preceded him in our business. I think the other thing that happens now is you can make a great living at multiple places. You know, 20, 30 years ago, there were only a handful of jobs in college basketball that really paid, and guys would leave and pursue those jobs. I mean, think about it. UCLA is sitting here now, and they can't find
yeah.
it. You know, so, I mean, the world has changed drastically. I think he's a Texas kid. He likes that area. I know they can take care of him financially, and by this run, I'm sure he'll be, he's an icon there, and he should have the opportunity to stay as long as he likes. You know, but once again, we also know this business. You don't win, all of a sudden it shines off the penny a little bit, and anything can happen. But I think he's a great fit there, the kind of kids he can bring into Texas Tech. And, you know, he's got that defensive mentality, and I think it's easier for him to recruit that kind of kid at a school like a Texas Tech.
You know, Coach, one of his stars, obviously, is Jarrett Culver, who didn't play all that well last night. 5 of 22 from the floor, finished the game with 15 points. Better offensively in half number two than he was in half number one, where I think he just finished with 3 points. What about what you saw from Culver? You know, it seemed like at times he was pressing a little bit to kind of find his range, his game. We know he's an NBA stud. We know he's a lottery pick. He's got that kind of grade on him and what he can do, and he's a willing defender. What did you see? They needed more offensively from Culver last night in order to pull out that win, and they just didn't get it.
Exactly right. I think the fact that they could get to overtime – and play a team as good as Virginia without him having just an average night for him. He had a below average night. If he has an average night or an exceptional night, they probably win that game. Look, he's a fine player. It at times you can see that he might have gotten a little tight trying to take some rough shots or shots early in the clock just to try to get his mojo going. But he'll go into NBA workouts, and they'll see him pre-draft. And once again, I'm sure if you're not in he's a first-round level player. It's just hard when you see these young guys who've had these great years, and then on the biggest stage, things don't come together for him. But I think he's got a fine career ahead of him and a great future.
You know, Coach, you're at Quinnipiac right now as the associate head coach. You had success at Hofstra. You coached at Fordham as well. There's potentially reportedly an opening here in New York locally at St. John's, with reports are that Mullen and St. John's are going to part ways. What about that Johnny's job? You know, how attractive of a job is that?
Well, I still, being born and bred in New York, I think it's an attractive job. I think until it's done, I really hope Chris stays. I mean, until this is totally official, I would hope that Chris stayed. I mean, I think it was so exciting for New York basketball, New York college basketball, when he came back. I think New York college basketball has lost its way a little bit. It's not what it once was, and not just at St. John's, but just the way everybody is embracing it, the amount of coverage we get, the amount of local kids that leave, a lot more leaving the New York area now than they did in years past. So, I think, look, I'm born and raised in Queens. I was sneaking into St. John's games when I was 10 years old. So, we used to go in with a ticket, the stub from the game before, and the ushers in the back would just wink at you and let you in because they knew what you were up to, but they knew you were a little guy and wanted to see the game. So I think that they're always going to be able to get quality, high-level candidates for that job.
You sound perfect for it. You sound perfect. Come on, what are we doing?
Yeah, now that ship has sailed, boys. Now I sit here and I make suggestions.
Attaboy.
And I'm good at that. Maybe a little zone, kids. I still think it's a very appealing job. And, you look at the game last night. Ty Jerome, it's funny. When I was at Fordham, we had a team camp. We had Ty Jerome, Eric Pascal from Villanova, and Matty Ryan, who went to Notre Dame and is now at Vanderbilt, and they were all going into ninth grade. And I remember offering them scholarships. Ty Jerome, his basketball IQ as an eighth grader was like off the charts. I said, I don't know how, at the time I never thought he'd see 6'5", but that kid can play for us, and he can probably play in a lot of places. And obviously Eric's gone on and had a great career, as Matt has. So, you get good players and you keep them at home, you can definitely win big at St. John's.
Coach, I'm just curious, what do you see, in an eighth grader, ninth grader? I mean, when you're watching Ty Jerome there, you mentioned his basketball IQ is off the charts, and, you're offering him. What did you recognize? What did you see in a kid that young?
Well, his dad, Mark, is a good player in the Patriot League, and obviously he had taught him well. He's got a younger brother who's a great player now as well. But the pace that he played the game at, he never got sped up. He had a great feel. He always made the right pass. He didn't turn the ball over. He was a rising ninth grader. He's going to go into ninth grade. He's playing against guys that are juniors and seniors. But even though they might have been bigger physically and a little bit stronger, He didn't get rattled. He just had a great, great feel for the game. And that's something that the special players have. They always say great players see the game in slow motion. And it was almost like that in this little body of this young, this young kid. And then you have the physical specimen, Eric Pascal, who also had a good feel for the game. He was at the same camp, and he was just a monster athletically. The great story with that, my son, who at the time was about 10, was watching one of the team games at team camp, and Eric was playing in it, and I went over and I said, "Hey, Sean, what do you think?" And he said, "Daddy, this kid's too good to play with these other guys." And I said, "Yeah, we all think we're great recruiters. He's a 10-year-old. He can pick out the best player on the court, right?"
Yeah.
So what do we really know? It's funny stuff. But I'm thrilled for Ty and his family. They're just a wonderful group of people, and I'm really happy for the young man.
And Coach, we'll close out the conversation here. Circle back to UVA and Virginia, what they're able to do. And we all know how good of a coach, Bennett is. And obviously his dad playing for his dad, and we saw Dick in attendance last night out in Minneapolis. But, from your perspective, having been there, doing it, to build that team back up after where they were a year ago. You mentioned it's a year-round job. I get it. But to have that kind of, as each and every one of the guys talked about, the embarrassment being a laughingstock around the country after that loss, what about that psychological buildup from Bennett?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think, you know, people on the outside looking in see, you know, might use that term laughingstock. I mean, in our business, we understand that can happen any night. And when you look at the course of a season, you know, there's teams that lose non-conference games to teams that are there's a great gap between them, supposedly, in level of play and conference and things of that nature. But, man, you know, I work for Rolly Massimino, and he used to tell us all the time, hey, fellas, if winning was easy, everybody would do it.
Right.
And, you know, every night you go out and you treat every opponent the same exact way. You prepare for them the same way. You go about your business the same way, and you better respect them. And if you don't, you can get bit. And I'm not saying they didn't respect them last year. I think they ran into a buzzsaw. UMBC was a really good team. They had a fifth-year player that dominated the game. And that whole dynamic of fifth-year players has really changed the landscape of college basketball. The young guy Mooney, who's playing for Texas Tech, is a great example of that. You know, so I don't think that it was as much a laughingstock as much as it's pride as a competitor. You know, these young guys have great pride, and as do the coaching staff. You're there to compete every night, and I think that that's the heartstrings that he played on. I think he played on their competitive nature. How competitive a person are you? Are you competitive enough to go out every day and become a better player so this never happens again to our team? And obviously he did a magnificent job with it.
Hey, Coach, we always appreciate your perspective. Thanks a lot. We appreciate, and thanks again for joining us this morning. Have yourself a good Tuesday, all right?
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. Pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.